I don't want to read the entire chapter to you, but I want to begin here in verse 20, chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. To get the real context of this, you need to begin all the way back in verse 1. But I want to look at these verses this evening. Speaking here of religious people. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. One of the differences between not only a gospel preacher and a gospel teacher and those who, I mean, believe God's Word and they reverence God's Word. They have a broken heart and they tremble at it. This generation, I fear, brothers and sisters, knows very little of what it means to tremble at God's Word. They don't believe it. They don't understand it. But the difference between those who do and those who proclaim the truth of it and believe the truth of it, as opposed to those who do not, those who believe it respect it enough and reverence it enough that they're willing to look at all Scripture. Free will not consider all Scripture. They'll come to our Scripture this evening where I've taken my text and they'll try to look at it and prove that a true believer can be saved and be lost. But they will not go to those scriptures that teach that it's impossible for a true believer to ever be lost after the Lord has saved it. You and I are willing to come here and look at this scripture and be honest with it. But free will not be honest with the scriptures that you and I often go to and read. You know what I'm saying? When I consider these scriptures here in verses 20 through verse 22 and other scriptures like this, it concerns me. And one of the reasons such passages like this concern me personally is because I see in these passages how far a man may go in the way of professing the Lord Jesus Christ without ever knowing Him, without ever really being saved. And that's something all my Christian life that has bothered me. And we see passages like this and incidents like this all through the Scripture. Let me call your attention to just two or three of them. Balaam was a man who saw visions of the Lord Jesus Christ and His coming unto this earth. And yet he was a false prophet and loved the wages of unrighteousness. Judas was an apostle and went out and preached that men should repent and was without it himself. He cast out devils and he had one himself. And we read about those stony ground hearers which received the word with joy and believed for a while. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read these passages like this, it has a tendency to bother me and disturb me. And it's caused me, in my own experience, often concern to examine myself. Here in verse 20, Peter tells us how far these had advanced. Now, I want you to look at it with me. Let's look at these verses together. What's the first thing that he says about these in verse 20? He says something positive about them. They have escaped the pollutions of the world. That's what they did. And if you and I want to know what the pollutions of the world are, it's simply the lust of the flesh. All that's in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, that's what's of the world. These men were in sin, and they escaped their outward sins. They came out of their outward sins, the pollution that was in the world. Now, this is good. This is good. And Peter seems to commend them for doing this. This seems to be a positive thing. After they have escaped the corruption, you and I rejoice to see anybody come out of the pollutions of this world, don't we? Not only for the good of our society, but especially if they make a profession, we want to see them come out of open and profane sin. And you know, that's one of the signs of a true converted heart. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Jesus Christ came into this world to save us from our sins. And when he saves a man, he brings him out of his sins. So Peter here recognizes these people have escaped the corruptions of this world. They've escaped that. And then secondly, look how far they had gone and look why they came out of the corruptions of the world, the pollutions of the world. What means did they escape it? He tells us, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here's why I say this concerns me. You say, how deep was their knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? How did it affect them? Well, it had a rather profound effect upon them. Yes. It had such an effect upon them that it brought them at least out of the outward pollutions of this world. We talk about a head knowledge and a heart knowledge. Well, we see what a head knowledge can do for a person. That it has effects upon his outward life. And how many have you and I seen this happen to? Men who were stooped in sin and came and heard the gospel and grasped something of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and we've seen a tremendous improvement in their morality. We've seen that. They turned from their sins, and their knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ was the reason for it. But he goes on, and look here now at what he says in a negative sense. He says here in verse 20, if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. Now this tells us that they were in these pollutions. They were outward and more or less profane sinners, because they came out of that and now they're entangled again in it. Now here's what sin is. Here's what the Bible calls it. An entanglement. And here's the mode of backsliding. You'll notice these two things. Here's the mode of apostasy, if you will. If you see a man leave his profession of Christ, here's the way he usually does it. First of all, he's entangled in his sins. They usually don't overwhelm him all at once. He begins to dabble in them again. He begins to secretly lie and secretly yield to his lust. Nobody sees it. It's in secret. until he's so entangled within it that he can't get out of it. I used to keep horses. And one of the things I used to do to let them pick grass, I would get them out of the stall and put a long rope on them with a halter, and I'd tie an old cement block to them, and they could drag the cement block around through the grass and eat. And sometimes you would go out there, and the animal had kept going around and around, and he got the rope around his back legs and front legs, and he got so entangled that he could hardly pick grass and hardly move. He was entangled. You and I have seen professing people fall into sin and get so entangled in it and so bound down by it that neither they nor you had any idea how to get them out of it. A confusing mess that would almost drive you to despair to think about it. And that's what Peter said their first step was. They had escaped these pollutions through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, but now they have turned and begin to dabble back in these pollutions, and now they're tangled up in them. But he doesn't stop there. This is the next step, and look at this. Not only are they entangled in these sins, in these pollutions, but look here, they are overcome by them. Now there's a difference between being entangled and overcome. When you're overcome, you're whipped. It's got the best of you. It's got you pinned. You can't get away. You're overcome with it. I've seen horses also get so entangled in ropes while picking grass, they got so entangled they finally got on the ground. And you've had to cut the rope to rescue them and free them. These got so entangled with sin, the lust of the flesh, that they were overcome. Overcome. In the sense that I'm looking at this evening, there's two things when I think about being overcome that overcomes people. Men are overcome, one, by heresy. There was two men in the early church, Hymenaeus and Philetus. And they were preaching that the resurrection had already passed. And the scripture says they overthrew the faith of some. The way some men leave their profession of Christ is not through lust, but it's through heresy. They told us, and I don't know if this is so or not, but Jim Jones, that he preached in Indianapolis before he went out west and got entangled up in the cult and everything, and all the people killed himself. But they said when he first started out, he had a King James Bible and preached from it, and a lot of his preaching was very, very sound. And he went off into heresy. He was overcome by heresy. And then, of course, the way that Peter tells us here, what was it that overcome these people? They were entangled by what? They were overcome by what? The pollutions of this world. That is, the lust of the flesh. And know the results of all of this in the last portion here of verse 20. What's the result of all of this? The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Well, the beginning was what? Their beginning was what? Well, their beginning was the way they were before they made a profession. In the beginning, they were dead in trespasses and sins. In the beginning, they were without hope in themselves. In the beginning, they were in darkness. In the beginning, they had no knowledge of Christ at all. But Peter says here, their end is worse than that. It's worse than that. Well, let me give you five statements in regards to the latter end being worse than their beginning. Why is that so? Well, listen to this. Their latter end is worse than their beginning because they have put the Lord Jesus Christ, whom they profess, to an open shame because they deny Him. That's worse than they had done before. And secondly, they tempt and grieve the Holy Spirit, who is reproving their conscience for their denial and for their sinful practices. And thirdly, they openly reject the Word of God as their only rule. He tells us in verse 21, they turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. In other words, they put the Word of God from them. They refuse to hear and obey it. And there's no faith to those who deny the Word of God. You cannot separate faith and obedience. And those who will not obey will not believe. And fourthly, those who are finally overcome with sin are hardened by sin, and they become more bold than ever to sin. I have seen this in people who deny the Lord, deny their profession. And at first, they're very careful with their sin. Then they become more open with their sin. And it's not long until they're very, very bold and open with their sins. And they're happy if they can drag others into sin with them, because it soothes the guilt of their own conscience. And fifthly, the latter end is worse than the beginning, because these people who apostatize are seldom, if ever, recovered. Seldom, if ever, recovered. I was talking with a lady just a few days ago. Went to a church where I was, and said she got very, very angry and hurt over something that happened, and was away for 2 years. And we were talking about that, and about how people that have went through what she went through and did what she did are seldom recovered from it. You and I have seen it, haven't we? We've seen it. And the fearful thing about professing the Lord Jesus Christ and then denying Him and going back to your sins and being overcome with your sins, one of the most fearful things about it, seldom is that person ever recovered from that state. The last end is worse with them than the beginning. And look what he says here in verse 21. For it had been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness. Now what is that? Well, in verse 2, he tells us in verse 2. Look at this in verse 2 of this chapter. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. It's the way of truth. In verse 15, look at this. Which have forsaken the right way. The way of righteousness is the way of truth. It's the right way. And Peter says here, it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. So these weren't deceived by false doctrine. They knew the way of righteousness. This is what bothers me. It's this whole thing about the head and the heart. And I'm not for sure how far you can go in separating those two. But there can be something in the head that's not in the heart. There can be a knowledge in the head that affects not the heart. These knew the way of righteousness. They knew a man was not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. They knew the way of righteousness. They knew Christ was the end of the law for righteousness. They knew something about the doctrine of the gospel of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet what did they willingly and deliberately do? We're told, look at this, in verse 21. After they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. This in general, I suppose, is the gospel. But I think in particular, it's repentance and faith. This is what they turn from. These lifelong commandments of repentance and faith. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And this commandment was preached unto them. Peter said it was. It was delivered unto them. But what did they do? They turned from it. And the Word of God says that we're commanded to believe in the name of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this commandment was preached unto them, and they turned from it. See, this business of repentance and faith is not something we experienced 20 years ago. It's something that began back there in our experience, but it continues daily. And when men fall into sin and are commanded to repent and they will not, Peter said it's turning from that holy commandment. We never quit believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. We live by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God commands us to believe in Christ. And when a man will not repent, and when a man will not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter said they turn from that holy commandment. For a person to make a half-hearted profession is worse than making no profession at all. Isn't that what the Lord tells us here? This is why, brothers and sisters, we come here Sunday after Sunday, and you go out there and face people. And you preach the Word of God to them. This is all we do here in this pulpit, is to preach the gospel to people. We don't want to lead men and women on a profession of faith. We preach the gospel to them and we pray that God the Holy Spirit will shut them up in their guilt, in their condemnation, and in their inability and bring them to the place that they will surrender themselves up to the Lord Jesus Christ without any conditions attached to it. Now that's what we do. Because we know if once a man makes a profession of faith, if it's not real, and he goes back, then the latter end of that man is worse than the beginning. It scares me to death anymore to see somebody make a profession. I want to see men broken, don't you? I want to see God cast them in the ditch, as Miranda read the other day. And turn them on their heads and turn their world upside down and make them sick of sin and bring them to the end of themselves and leave them saying, Lord Jesus, save me or I perish. They turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. And notice this here in verse 22. Here's a prediction. Here's a prediction. Here's a proverb concerning these people. These who apostatize. It was made all the way back in verse 1. Look at this in verse 1. This was prediction concerning these very people. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall be bringing damnable heresy, denying the Lord that brought them, that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. There's going to be people among us, he said, that was going to be apostates. And he said here in verse 22 that this had happened to them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. If I had no other scripture to prove that these men we're not true children of God. I guess right here in verse 22 would be the good proof of it. The Lord loves His people. The Lord loves His church. And when He writes such a proverb concerning a true believer and call him a dog and a sow, I don't think so. Let me give you three things in this passage here that I see is missing. There's three things in our text this evening that I see is missing in their profession. And first is this, the power of God. The power of God. Look back in the first chapter of the first book of Peter. Just back to your left. Look here at this. Look here in verse 3, chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. Now, I've read to you in my text about a group of people who were overcome. Who were overcome with sin. And the same that I see lacking in that was the power of God to hold them up. If a man stands in his own strength and by his mere profession, something is going to get the best of him. Sin is going to get him down and overcome him if the power of God is not there to hold him up. How many of you can testify in yourself that there has been times in your Christian life when you knew then and you especially know now as you look back that you were so weak and sin was so strong and the opportunity was so available, if God had not helped you up and kept you by His power, you would not be here tonight. Every Christian here this evening can testify to that, can't we? Well, what happened to these people? How come they got so entangled? And you can blame them. Sure, it was their fault. But I tell you, when God keeps a man, when God preserves a man, when God upholds a man, there is nothing that's going to overcome that man. God is almighty. And when He begins a work in the heart, it's a work of power. And sin won't overcome it. And He said, what I start, I finish. Is that what He said? And secondly, I see this missing. I see a heart faith missing. Much is said here about knowledge, but nothing said of faith. A lot said of head knowledge, but nothing is said of a heart faith. Head knowledge puffs us up. But I tell you what head knowledge won't do. It won't purify the heart. Head knowledge will make you proud and it'll make you argumentative, but it won't make you hate your sin and it won't make you love righteousness. But faith will do both of those things. Faith will purify your heart. This is the victory that overcomes the world. And that's what we're talking about. It. The pollutions that's in the world overcome these people. But John said, this is the victory that overcomes the world. And the world cannot overcome it. What is it? Even our faith. Our faith. And when I read here that these were overcome by this world, then I just am made to wonder, what kind of faith did they have? Yeah, they had knowledge. They had knowledge. Had a whole head stuffed full of it. But I see no evidence of a heart faith. And thirdly and lastly, I see this missing, and that is a new nature. A new nature. Why did this dog return to his vomit again? Because he's still a dog. Why did this sow go wallowing in the mire? And did you notice how the Holy Spirit said that? She wasn't walking by a mud hole and fell in it. She was wallowing in it. She lay in it. She'd turn over in it. She'd rest there on her side and she'd turn over on her back and on her other side. She wallowed, Larry. Why did she do that? That's her nature. There's been a lot of good men, a lot of godly men who have fallen into sin. Either through sudden temptation or prolonged temptation or desire and opportunity came together and God allowed them to do it. A lot of good men. But I tell you this, they didn't wallow in it. They were ashamed of it. And they repented of it. And they came out of it and rose again to walk with the Lord again. But these here, they wallowed and eat their own vomit. You may see a dog eating his vomit, but I bet you'll never see a sheep eating his vomit. Bob, you ever seen a sheep eat his vomit? I've seen a lot of dogs eat their vomit. If you and I will examine ourselves, brothers and sisters, if we're born of God, if we're His, truly I mean, you and I can see the difference in us and these apostates. Sometimes we may look at them and we say, boy, that may be me. But you examine yourself. And you can see within yourself these three things. You can see who's keeping you. You know what kind of person you are. And you know there's a greater power keeping you than your human nature. There's a power working in you to cause you to desire the Lord Jesus. To cause you to continue to come to Him and pray to God and rest upon Him. And you know there's a heart of faith in you that keeps you looking and believing. When you feel so weak, you can't go another step. And you feel like you can't believe. And you feel like you've got more faith than unbelief. And yet you keep believing. What is that? Something these didn't have. You see it in yourself, don't you? And you see something in you that wasn't there before. It's something that truly hates sin and loves righteousness. There's something there that hates yourself and hates your sin and hates your way. There's something there that wants to be holy, wants to be like the Lord and follow Him fully. It's in you. And when you examine yourself, you may have to do it prayerfully and examine yourself closely and watch. But you'll see there's a difference in you and these apostates. It's more than just a bunch of head knowledge to you. And you're kept the power that these weren't kept by. And if the Lord Jesus should come to you tonight and give you the invitation that He gave His apostles of old, and says, if you can, leave. If you can, leave. What if he gave you that invitation tonight? If you can, leave. You know what you'd say? If you're born of God, if you have the Spirit of God in your heart, you know what you're going to say? Lord, to whom shall I go? You have the words of eternal life. And I believe and I'm sure that you're the Christ. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Gracious Father, oh,